The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemo.
Hi, Tandy. Welcome to a special episode of the Surrey Storm Podcast. Emma McGee joined the team for 2021. Really looking forward to seeing what she can bring to the side. And recently she took part in a Netball Northern Ireland webinar. And we were there as well.
You're all very welcome here this evening. I am delighted that we have got Emma McGee with us. Emma being one of our Northern Ireland Warriors, a member of the Surrey Storm Super League team. Emma, we wanted just this opportunity to ask you a few questions, pick your brains and find out just a little bit about your journey, the ups and downs, the ins and outs of finally arriving where you're just getting ready to kick off your Super League season. And we're all busting to get watching you take the court this weekend. So Emma is a senior Northern Ireland netballer. She now has 14 senior caps and gathered quite a lot of those at the Netball World Cup in 2019, being a key member of that team. Signed her first Super League contract there for Surrey Storm. You know, it was a privilege for me to be able to watch Emma over the years and also then to get taken the court with you in Liverpool. So just to start off with, for people here who don't really know you or know the McGees and your sort of background, will you just give a bit of an introduction to who you are and how you fell into netball?
Thanks very much for the introduction. I first got into netball through my mum. So I've grown up watching her play. And I always remember, like, my mum always being on the floor when she was playing. Like, she always used to fall, no matter, she was, I think, goal defence, goalkeeper, but she always used to fall. She always used to say that's how hard she wanted to get the ball, that's how hard she was going for it. So that's always stuck with me. But yeah, so since, like, a young age, we've always, me, Aunt Michelle, and Kerry, my older sister, have always been around netball. And then obviously we then played it in school. It wasn't that big in school until sort of recently. And then myself and Michelle, and with the work of my PE teacher, Laura Bannon, we decided to get all the Gaelic girls together and really make something of it. I think it was like the B final we had won. But most of those girls are all the Gaelic ones that we had convinced to play. So yeah, it was really, that's what I remember from school and from Westside.
So having your mum leading the charge with Westside and having Michelle and Kerry involved as well, like how, like I suppose for me and I suppose for a lot of the netballers here, we just love being able to play with our friends and have that sort of crack. What is that like having your mum being in charge and then also having Michelle and Kerry taking the court beside you as well?
Oh my God, a Wednesday night was either my best friends after like eating our toast or whatever after training, or else everyone just went to their rooms and didn't speak. So there was obviously a bit of like bickering and people, like there was times where we disagreed. But yeah, like I think there was only one match, and it was that photo actually in the middle. That was the only match that me, Michelle and Kerry played and my mum was coaching. So yeah, like that was really, really special. And I suppose now I'm only appreciating it because it doesn't happen that often anymore. But yeah, like you said, it was mostly fun and games.
Was that useful for you, you know, eat, sleep, live in netball at home as well as whenever you were a club or, you know, at training then as well? Did that push you on a bit more in your netball journey, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It sort of pushed me on, but not in a pressurised way. I think it just motivated me a bit more. And I suppose it was always good if you did have a crap match or if I came back and I didn't train well, or you could talk through it with the likes of my mum or my sister or even my dad, and they sort of put it into perspective. That's when I did want to talk about like a bad performance. Most of the time I don't want to talk about it, but it was sort of good because they give you that reassurance, and because they had the knowledge of the sport, it was good reassurance.
Netball wasn't your only sport whenever you were growing up. There was a lot of different activity in the McGee household. There's a bit of weight training going on there and some athletics, and then also a lot of Gaelic football. Tell us about why you had involvement in all these different sports and how they helped your netball as well.
I think in St Dominic's in particular, it was anything to get out of school, whether it was volleyball, soccer, rugby at times, or just, it was very much like if you could throw and catch the ball. My PE teacher that I mentioned before, Laura, was just like, yep, you can do anything then. So, yeah, that was a big part of my school life, sports. In terms of Gaelic, I started when I was primary seven, and Michelle went to Gaelic football before, and she was a real tomboy when she was younger, and I was the exact opposite. But I sort of got a bit bored and lonely when she went to Gaelic training, so I was like, fine, I'll give it a go, just to be with her, basically. And then, yeah, I just started training with her, and yeah, ever since then, I've obviously just played. So, yeah, and then the bottom photo, that's the Carrickduff team. So myself and Michelle both transferred from St Bridget's to Carrickduff. So there was a lot of success with that club, and it was a brilliant move. And it's very much, it's taught me a lot about team sports and team culture. And I think that's very relatable in terms of my netball as well.
That's what I was just going to ask you. There is something really about playing a team sport that's different to an individual sport. What do you get out of playing, you know, going to Gaelic, going to netball, that you maybe wouldn't get out of, say, if you were playing athletics or, you know, another individual sport?
I think it's the whole family element. I just love to see that, and I love to be a part of a team that is so well connected. I think you also get a great sense of, or you understand that how much you sacrifice, and if you're willing to sacrifice stuff for each other, and then that obviously just creates a stronger bond and that stronger family connection, and that's not just through winning, that's through the highs and the lows, but yeah, I think that's what's made me stick at team sports the most.
How do you balance all the commitments, you know, with, say, your Gaelic, with your netball, but then also with real life as well? That's a lot of juggling and through the years. So how have you coped with all that?
I think it's always been, if you strip it back to like really simple terms, that my sport has been my enjoyment. So that is my fun. And it has never been a case of, oh my God, I have to go to training, or I don't want to go. And I suppose in many ways that might be sad that is my enjoyment, but it wasn't like work.
It wasn't a chore.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't it didn't have to have that balance. And saying that, the balance was then studies and sport, because then it got to a point where I was like, oh, I actually need to study here. But again, it always had a sporting motive behind it. So it was, I need to do my levels because I need to get to England because I want to play netball in England. To go to university in England. And although I tried to convince like my mum and dad it wasn't all purely because of netball, it always was. And yeah, I feel like I'm allowed to say that now. It
always has been. I think a lot of us can relate to that feeling of enjoyment, and it didn't feel like a chore going to training, especially whenever you were going to hang out with your friends and have a bit of crack as well. So I'm going to flip forward quite a few years now to 2019 and the Netball World Cup. And why goal attack? What was the story there?
I don't actually remember a defining moment where I was like, I'm goal attack. So I've just always remembered playing goal attack. I do obviously enjoy that sort of playmaker role. I absolutely hate goal shooter.
Stuck in the cage, I can totally relate.
I think I can rely on more things in goal attack. And just that freedom of playing, but then also the glory of the goals when they go in. I do really enjoy that playmaker role, but also with the freedom that comes with the position.
And how do you prepare for that kind of role? Because you are on offense, you're on defense, you are on, you know, switched on a lot of the time. Even whenever the other team has possession, you have a defensive role to, you know, to play there, as opposed to just chilling out whenever the ball's down the other end of the court.
I think it is just the constant concentration that you have to work on. But that's what I really like about it. It's not, you don't get a chance to switch off. And I feel like if I did switch off for a bit, I would find it really hard to get back on again. So yeah, but just through like training and obviously just playing goal attack, I've sort of learned, and I still am learning what's involved in the role. And more so a key learning for me, I suppose, in the World Cup was how much of the game of a goal attack is mental. And it's just like that blew my mind. And I just feel like that was a World Cup was such a really good experience for me to learn that. And I suppose practice my learnings. That'll hopefully stick with me for the rest of my netball career. And I almost was smiling to myself, but I didn't obviously want to smile because I was supposed to be concentrating and the rest of it. But I just remember thinking like, God, this, like, I want to do this forever. Like, this is amazing.
And was some of that having a level of confidence in your ability coming into the World Cup then, you know, that you had done all that you could do in terms of physical preparation, tactical preparation? I suppose that was a bit up in the air whenever we had a quick changeover of your shooting partner. But, you know, like there was, you had done an awful lot of groundwork in preparation for, you know, for the tournament then.
Yeah, definitely. I think with a competition like the World Cup or like a big major competition, you obviously have all your setups, your team structures, your game plan of when you face a team like Malawi. You also have, you have to know your role in the team and for that match. But then again, I'll come back to it, then you have to have the mental stability and you have to ensure that your confidence is high, that you're taking those shots that help that confidence, but you're also making sure that when something does happen, which it will, that it hasn't gone your way, that you bounce back from that. And I remember it was a post-match interview, and one of the questions was, how do you come back from a missed shot or a several missed shots? And then the interviewer actually said, because it doesn't look like it fazes you. And that's the thing that I was working on for, it seemed like for ages. It maybe does faze me, but I just don't want to show it. And I think watching like the likes of Maria Folau for New Zealand, and she just doesn't faze her. And I always wanted to be like that. And so for someone to pick up from not in our team, for someone to pick that up, it was like a real sense of achievement for me. But yeah, like I think massively in terms of mental preparation and having that mental strength to keep going in tough times or tough battles on court is really, really important, and it should never really be undermined or underrated.
So for anybody listening, like, so for any upcoming or aspiring future warriors, what sort of things could they maybe do that help, you know, that helps you get into that sort of mindset or that sort of focus? Like, how did you prepare and work on that in the build up to the World Cup?
Don't wait for something bad to happen. Like I always use the example of, like, you don't just start strength and conditioning training when you're feeling weak or when you get head off the ball. You always have it. So why don't you always have strength training or mental training? So I think with sports psychology in general, a lot of people go to a sports psychologist or seek a sports psychologist when something has went wrong. But if you have it from the get-go, and that's not to say nothing will go wrong, of course it will, but it just means you've got that edge over maybe a player who hasn't. And to get back and bounce back.
Well, here, I think this sort of leads us nicely into our next bit then. It was just chatting about your university experience. So you went to Northumbria to study psychology as well. And I suppose that opened up a number of doors in terms of getting exposure to playing with different, playing in England, playing against English netballers, and then you had some New Zealanders on your team then as well. What was that sort of experience like from a study perspective and also from the netball experience?
Studying was great. in first year, just with my course not being that full on in first year, I got Tiora Keenan was my coach at the time, and I was just like in awe of everything to do with England netball and the setup, and especially her and the players that I was playing with. So I took that opportunity and was the biggest melter in the whole world, and just always asked her for extra sessions. And I'm so glad that she took me up on all of those offers. Like she was just like, yeah, no worries, no worries. To a point where she actually asked, was I actually studying at uni? Because I never be there, but of course I was there. I was just fitting it around my nipple. But yeah, so that was first year. And so I was on the first team then. And then second year, T left. I think she left in third year. But yeah, like some of the players that were on that team when I was on was just amazing to learn from. Chiara Semple being one of them. It's just such a good experience that I don't think I would have got if I had stayed home. And I'm so glad I did it. And then when it came to the important part of uni, so like final year exams, that's when World Cup training was. But I just managed to fit it round, sort of fit netball around my studying, I suppose. And that all came from, I think it has to, the credit has to go to Laura Bannon, my old PE teacher, because she taught me, even in, from school and from a young age, that like, I remember her saying, well, you could train in the morning before school. And me being like, are you joking? Like I just didn't think of that. So she had me and Michelle training most mornings before school to then fit our, maybe our Gaelic in at the end of school or our studying. And ever since then, like I always train in the morning, and it doesn't seem to faze me anymore because it's just what I have done for all these years. So I suppose in uni it came in really handy, because if uni was going on until 6 p.m. or 7 and then training at night, I could do my extra sessions in the morning. So yeah.
Would you say that you're quite a disciplined person, or did you find that hard to do, or was it just a case of, look here, this is what I need to get done and get on with it then?
It's really weird because I used to find a lot of pleasure in when I went to the gym and there would be not a lot of people there. I used to think I am doing it and someone else isn't. And that for me was a good motivation. And it sort of allowed me to compete with other people, even though they weren't competing. So yeah, I think I am quite disciplined in it now. It is hard then when no one else is training, for example, like when I'm up at school working and no one else is training, it's hard when you can't physically see other people training, or you can't train with your teammates. But yeah, I suppose you could say I'm disciplined in that area. And yeah, early mornings, I'm an early rider. I like early mornings. I like getting it done.
Fair play to you. The university experience, as you were saying, T was one of your coaches. And then you've also had a number of coaches through Northern Ireland as well. How important has that been to you growing as a netballer and getting those different experiences?
Massive. Like, it's so beneficial to have such a wide variety of coaches. I'd love to sit here and say my mum taught me everything I know, but unfortunately, sorry. But you know what I mean? It's having that wide variety of coaches, and even if it's something as small as looking into the circle or, I don't know, something very minute, it's still beneficial, and it's that those one percenters that often really count. So yeah, just, I think everybody that's coached me, every teammate I've played with, I've learned something from. And I try to do that. I make a conscious effort of trying to be like a big sponge and just absorb everything that people are telling me. In some ways, then, I have to keep to my own style. And I suppose that's been more important this year than any year, not to change my style of play to fit other people's. But yeah, I think I do that quite well anyway. So while I'm being a sponge, but also to stick to what I know. So yeah, it's been really, really good having those different coaches.
I'm going to move on to look at your like national or journey through representative netball. And so there's been ups and downs and ins and outs in that journey. So I just want you to chat through your first cap as under 17, if you played in the regional academies, give us a bit of insight into that and then chat us right through to you getting your first senior cap in June 2017.
That was under 17. I was just so happy to be there. Obviously, I didn't get that much court time, but it didn't really bother me. I just remember thinking, oh my God, I'm delighted to be here. And yeah, that was just really, really enjoyable experience. I remember though coming back, I was on such a downer because when you went, like it was almost just like you were famous. Like it was amazing. You got like your little name tag and everything. And that was my first real experience, well, in a Northern Ireland dress, which was amazing. But it's funny actually looking back, because even like the England players for under 17, like you would think they were like top celebrities. But yeah, that was a really, really good experience. Then I came home and started then just training with the older ones, like the under 19s. And that's when I sort of just didn't want to go and be happy to go anymore. Actually, it was like, we want to win. And it was more so like, let's do something in this tournament, instead of just being happy to be there. This photo down here, I think that was under 21. I'm assuming it was, because I was only on under 17 for a year. I'm not sure where it was though. But yeah.
I think that one might be Scotland, is it?
Scotland. Okay. God, it seems like too long ago.
So that was probably in the build up to the
yes,
June.
I think that was the tests or the Europeans before Botswana, the World Youth Cup. And then this is the first senior cap was a month before we had left. And I remember Elaine, we were training with the seniors just in and out really. But I was very, very scared of the seniors. And Elaine said that she wanted a couple of us to join the test series to qualify them for the World Cup?
It was the World Cup, yeah. Sorry, that was the qualifier for the Commonwealth Games.
So then we played. I was on the bench for the Barbados game, but didn't get any. I didn't get my cap then. And then the next day I was on the bench again and then got played against the Republic of Ireland. And to this day, Michelle, we got our cap on the same day, but she 5 minutes before me. So I got put on, I think, the second quarter, but she got put on the first quarter, the last 5 minutes, which is really annoying. But yeah, that was it was really nice to have her first cap on the same day. And it was such a good build-up, I suppose, for training for the World Youth Cup. It was really good for the confidence as well and just really good match practice. So yeah, and then we go to Botswana.
There was so much going on in that there. There was such a challenge for you guys getting there in terms of fundraising and training and preparation. And then you're going to Botswana, totally different experience. And then obviously then the match plays as well. So chat us through that, Emma. Do you know what was that like?
The lead up and everything was just brilliant. Even just getting on that flight with all your teammates and all kitted out in our new gear and stuff, it was just amazing. And the welcome that we got at the airport, we got like police escort to our hotel. Like it was honestly amazing. It was so much fun. The sun was shining. That's one of our training sessions, which was outside. It was just so good.
What a novelty.
It was amazing, honestly. And seeing all the different countries that were there, and then that's a photo of us down with the New Zealand girls. Oh, it was just amazing. Well, it started off amazing, and then I got an injury, which wasn't so amazing.
So yeah, happened?
It was a test match against, was it a warm-up match maybe? A warm-up game? Or maybe it was a real thing, I can't remember. But it was against Sri Lanka, and I was just coming out for the ball and the goal defence's elbow hit the bridge of my nose, and I just sort of hit the floor. I thought I was fine. I remember feeling quite ill after it, and then sitting in the change room. And so we had won that game and I was sitting in change rooms and all the girls were like getting their ice baths or whatever and chatting. I mean, like it was very much a happy change room because we had won. And I remember just flipping and like sort of giving off that why was everyone so chatty and like we had lost this game and how it wasn't on and everything. And Michelle sort of just looked at me and was like, Emma, we won. And I was like, oh. And I just completely like blanked out at that stage. So that's when I knew it was like, oh no, this is annoying. But I was in denial the whole time, which didn't help matters. But then, yeah, I went to, actually the New Zealand doctor came and seen me. And she said if I was one of her players, she wouldn't let me play for the rest of the tournament. But again, like, looking back on it now, I was definitely badly concussed because I just turned into a demon child and I was convinced that she was against me, this doctor, and that she just didn't want me to play. I actually asked to go to hospital because I wanted medical profession advice, even though she was a doctor, but I just wanted to hear it. For me actually going, I don't really know why. And yeah, so they had said that I had been concussed, and it was up to basically our netball governing body as to whether I returned to play. So the way the matter was handled, I don't think helped the scenario because I was always told, you might get back, instead of just being told no. And in many ways, that was my fault because I sort of didn't let anyone say that to me. But yeah, from then on, it was just downhill.
It's that expectation and the work that you have put in to actually getting to Botswana, and you're just primed and ready to go, and then having that taken away from you, but like having that sort of dragged out a wee bit. Has that sort of shaped your approach to how you cope with challenges and that going forward? You know, has it changed anything on your outlook on things?
Definitely. I mean, I didn't think that injury would have impacted me massively, and it did. But I definitely wouldn't be the player I am today or have the knowledge that I do that injury almost forced me to have. Because when I came back, I didn't want to play netball anymore. I just didn't see the point. What's the point when you can get injured? And that did stick with me for a good while. If it wasn't for the support I had around me with family, friends, teammates, coaches, mentors, I don't think I would have got through it. But I did, thankfully. And it definitely, yeah, like you heard me say before, I'm very much believing the mental side of netball and sport. And I think that definitely, that injury made me look in that direction. And yeah, so it's helped me massively. And it still does.
And you also had a leadership role in Botswana as well. So how did that change whenever you were sitting there and you weren't able to make your contribution on the court, and you were sitting beside the girls on the bench, you know, maybe trying to contribute to the team, but also still having to deal with your own issues of not being able to, you know, contribute like you wanted to?
Yeah, it was so tough. I wouldn't say I'm a massive speaker in a group. I like to just do it on court, sort of thing. So yeah, that was so tough for me, especially then being in Michelle and Rebecca McCullough's room as well. So they had seen, although I was putting on front to everyone that everything's fine and it's all going to be fine, then they would obviously see me crying in the room, do you know? So it was really tough. And I did feel sorry for those guys as well on court. But yeah, it was very tough, but a really good learning, I think, for me.
Yeah. And then coming back to Northern Ireland, and you rediscovered that love for netball again, and you were back in the mix with the senior squad. Another little hiccup in terms of an ankle injury just before Commonwealth Games as well. So how did you jump over that hurdle?
It was actually in a uni match, and it was the last 2 minutes of the game, and I then tore my ligaments. And I remember ringing, because I had previously just made the commitment to travel home to put me in a better position to trial for the team for the Commonwealth Games. So I had to ring Elaine Rice, who was the coach at the time, and say, basically tell her I've torn my ligaments. And because it was Commonwealth Games, the selection had to be done quite early. So she just said, look, I'm sorry. Yeah, so that was heartbreaking. But I think if it wasn't for that injury in Botswana, I wouldn't have known how to dealt with that. So I think I did it in a good way. But it's also just, I think it's what you make of it. So I was in Northumbria at the time and I had a really good S&C. I had really good facilities and coaches and mentors around me at that time. But I also treated myself as an elite athlete. And I think that was really important for me because no one really says you're going to be an elite or you are an elite athlete. I think it just has to come from yourself. So I just treated myself like an elite athlete and rehabbed properly, got myself fit again. And that was through the disgusting bike sessions that I absolutely hate, swimming, rowing. Yeah. And it is because I really wanted it. And I knew that I was still young and there was other things to come.
So this year, Surrey Storm, so you signed your contract for those guys. Suppose it has been a bit of a different year with a pandemic, you know, and you were planning then on having to travel a good bit to, you know, to commit to the training. However, maybe the pandemic has been a bit of a blessing in disguise, you know. So how has your preparation and training been going with Surrey Storm?
Yeah, it's been like I've been loving it, like enjoying every second of it. And I even just like seeing the photo or you saying about a contract, I just sort of have to pinch myself and be like, oh my God, like this is crazy. And me and Michelle talk about it all the time, being like, what are we doing? This is crazy. This is literally all we talked about when we were younger is doing this. So yeah, I just think it is really important to again live in the moment and enjoy what I'm doing. While obviously keeping focused and trying to take each game as it comes, I suppose.
So we're looking ahead to this weekend. How are the nerves? How is the level, probably more levels of excitement? And what has the week been like for the team in preparation?
Yeah, nerves are okay, actually. I think it sort of helps because there's no fans going to be there. But then obviously a big downfall as well when you do come out the fans are amazing when that does happen. Like through my experience through World Cup, it was amazing. This week, it's just mainly like run-throughs, fixing things up that need to be fixed. Not that heavy training session. It's also my last week of school before midterm, which is perfect. So it's looking good and I am really excited to get going. But obviously it's a doubleheader, so this weekend will be a tough one.
Yeah, two big games. So how important is the recovery then after the first game against Pulse?
Massive. Suppose like World Cup, there is a quick turnaround. And I think it is just having that, getting your recovery in, food and so on, but also being that big sponge and learning everything that you could in that match before on the Saturday to then take it into the Sunday game and learn from it. And I suppose this is what I want out of this experience, is just keep learning. And that's in my role as a goal attack, but also in Super League environment and getting to play against world-class netballers. So yeah, hopefully that will happen. Fingers crossed.
And I suppose for all of us sitting back here in Northern Ireland, we're all just going, woohoo, the fact that we can watch every single game now on the TV. So I think that's fantastic that you're going to have the Northern Ireland back and behind you. Although there's going to be a bit of a controversy whenever it's the Rhinos versus Storm game. Where's the loyalties going to lie in the McGee household?
Well, Michelle's already bought my dad a Leeds Rhinos hat. For him. But I just let them choose themselves. I won't force anything. Yeah, no, it'd be interesting. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the McGee household that night. But no, yeah, it'll be fine. We'll all be happy family at the end of it, hopefully.
And it's going to be brilliant, the fact that there's six other, you know, there's six of our Northern Ireland Warriors in the Super League this year, you know, so it's not just Michelle you'll be coming up against. It'll be Finola and Caroline and Michelle, Drain, and who am I missing? Caroline? And Coops, yeah. So I think it's brilliant for us that you guys are getting that kind of exposure. And I suppose with Birmingham 2022 on the horizon as well, how does that help you guys in preparation for the next Commonwealth Games?
I think it's massive. It's so good. Think about all those different coaches and players each and every one of us are playing with and against. And so again, just taking all that you learn and bringing that back into Northern Ireland and bringing it back into our team, and learning from each other as well. So yeah, I can only see positivity from that. Although on court it might be different. But yeah, at the end of the day, we want to come back together as one. And yeah, so I think massive positives that we're all spread across.
Andy Lamb, you can unmute yourself and ask your questions there for Emma.
Hello.
Hi.
Emma, two quick questions. What's Mickey brought to your game so far?
She has brought my brain involved in netball. There's been so many times in training where I'm like, what? And then she just makes me see things that I hadn't seen before. She's such a smart player and coach, and I just keep annoying her with questions as to what happens this situation, what happens here. So yeah, I've still a lot more to learn, but definitely from October to now, I've learned so much from her.
What's the rest of the squad been like? Really welcomed you with open arms and really great bunch of players?
Yeah, oh my God, it's been amazing. It was tough when I was travelling down from the Lake District, because obviously I was only seeing the girls maybe once a week or twice a week, and it was only for that two-hour session where we were training. But obviously with lockdown and my school up in Sedbergh, they've allowed me to stay down in Surrey and obviously teach from online. So that's been so good, like training like almost full-time with the girls, going into weights with them, doing extra technical sessions. So yeah, it's definitely given me a better relationship or a better opportunity with them, which has been great. It's been so good. So, yeah.
And if you say that Karen's your best teammate, then she'll wire me a tenner. Any chance?
Yeah.
Emma, I want to ask, having played with you, having seen you, I'm the old one here compared to you, but having seen you come up through the ranks, I'm quite interested because a lot of the girls, especially all the younger girls that I would coach here in England, are finding all the new ways with technology growing, all these different new avenues that maybe you wouldn't have had when you were first started playing Gaelic or, pardon me, first started playing netball. Do you use all those new technology avenues? Like, do you sit and analyse games? Is that how you use your sponge brain, as you keep saying? Or do you just like doing it the old-fashioned way? Is it a visual learning, or do you learn in a different type of way?
So when I'm out of... So if, for example, I don't understand something, or it would be a case of in training, then going through it. If I'm out of options, as in if there's not one thing that I don't understand at that particular time, but I'm still not really satisfied with what I'm doing, I would just go and watch a netball game. I really, really like watching New Zealand play and in the NZ. So I've just watched the goal attack. I wouldn't necessarily pause it all the time and go back. I just always watch a goal attack to see what they do. But I don't really use... Obviously, we do use like video analysis and stuff in Storm and Northern Ireland, but I wouldn't just use that. I would just watch a goal attack.
And then just take your own style from it?
Yeah, not even... I wouldn't even take notes. I would just watch. And then see. Yeah, just watch. Keep watching.
Thank you very much for coming along and listening, and I hope you have found this as fascinating and inspiring as I did as well. Emma, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been lovely to hear you and hear about your journey. So really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks as always for your support. Throughout the season, we'll be online at Surrey Storm Pod, and you can follow the latest from the club at surreystormnetball.co.uk.
The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.